It's Saturday night. That means it's time for the Don Tony Show.
The wait all week long is finally over. Get Don Tony's perspective on current affairs in the world of pro wrestling and much more. The Don Tony Show.
And now, your host, the man, the legend, Don Tony.
Good evening, everybody. How you doing tonight? It is March 19th, 2022. I am back once again, the Don Tony Show. I want to thank you for tuning in, and thank you for stopping by for a little while tonight. I hope everybody's weekend is going good. 2 weeks away. Actually, 1 week away, my birthday. It's your birthday. And 2 weeks, WrestleMania. NXT Stand and Deliver, Ring of Honor, Supercard, lots of stuff going down. It's going to be pretty fun and draining 2 weeks, that's for sure. So I want to thank you all for hanging out tonight. We got a lot of stuff to get into. We need to talk a little bit about Jeff Hardy. Tony Storm launched at OnlyFans, and man, I got to give you some financial numbers to kick it off. Speaking of numbers, you know, we got to talk about the Hardys, their debut in ring for AEW and what kind of rating it scored. And wait till you hear the excuse that the radical noise on the left is blaming it on. Oh, man. Impact Wrestling, no laughing matter. Their ratings just keep nosediving and nosediving and nosediving. Casey is Raw, happy belated birthday. Turned 40 on Friday. Much love, much love. Hope you're enjoying your weekend. Yeah, I'm a little bit older than 40. I'm 40 with several years experience. So much love. And everybody in the chat room, wish Casey a happy birthday as well. Much love, much love. Listen, before we go any further, I want to just pay a little respects to someone who you likely have not heard anybody talk about. And you know what? Look, I appreciate the super chat. I thank you for your generosity. As always, Tommy D. And yes, it is sad that so many websites and shows didn't even pay attention to talk about the passing of J.J. Maguire, John James Maguire. Now, for everyday casual wrestling fans, everyday fans, the name may not be as recognizable, but once I start explaining who he is, you're going to be like, oh, okay, that guy died about a week ago at the age of 68. And, you know, it's just sad to see. I mean, I know Scott Hall, like he said, you know, Scott Hall, obviously, you know, there's a lot of focus on his passing, but we can all multitask everyone. We could pay tribute to some more than one person who has died. As far as everybody focusing on Cody and Tony Storm, hey, that's their thing. Whatever gets them the most attention. But we'll talk about, oh yeah, we will talk about Cody a little bit later, because I promised you all we would not talk about Cody again until something legitimate has surfaced, and yes, it has. Just because I don't like Mike Johnson doesn't mean that he cannot break legit news, so we will talk about that in a little bit. But for a lot of you out there that may not know, J.J. Maguire is responsible for some of the biggest wrestling theme songs in the history of pro wrestling. He worked alongside Jimmy Hart. In fact, I know a lot of you are probably aware of Jimmy Hart's original group, the Gentrys, back in the 70s, 60s, probably 60s, I would say more. But if you look at that promo photo for the Gentrys, yes, that is Jimmy Hart with the big mustache in the middle, but in the top left-hand corner, if you look far away, kind of looks a little bit like Finn Balor, but yes, that is J.J. Maguire. He was a member of the Gentrys, and, you know, back, you know, in the early days of music and wrestling, it was Jimmy Hart that approached his former band member and said, would you like to work with me with wrestling theme music? Now, I have a little list in front of me right now, and, you know, obviously we're not going to get into every song that he is responsible for, but how's about Shawn Michaels' Sexy Boy theme, The Legion of the Dooms, What a Rush, Honky Tonk Man, I'm Cool, I'm Cocky, I'm Bad, Hulkster, the Wrestling Boot Band. Yeah, I got a picture of it too. Actually, I'm going to show you a really cool picture in a few minutes. Where's my Hogan picture? The Wrestling Boot Band, there it is, the Wrestling Boot Band. That is him on the left. Remember, and a lot of people probably still don't realize it to this day, that if you look at the music videos for Hulk Hogan and the Wrestling Boot Band, that is his ex-wife that actually was in the band as well. But that is J.J. Maguire all the way on the left. Lots of Hulk Hogan songs. Bret Hart's theme. All-American Boys. I Want to Be a Hulkamaniac. I'm the Mountie. Demolition. The Bird. So many of them. Now, he is not solely responsible for a lot of these themes. But if you look at the credits, J.J. Maguire is always listed. Very next to Jim Johnston and Jimmy Hart, probably, you know, the third biggest name associated with wrestling themes. And believe me, if you actually start looking into this guy's work, you probably the least recognizable name when it comes to wrestling theme music. So J.J. Maguire, 68 years old. You know, from what I gathered from a few, and big shout out to Monty and the Pharaoh, because they have featured him in the past. They paid some nice tribute to the man as well. I think he recently wrote a book a year or two ago. So from what I understand, this death came out of nowhere. This was not something that it was an illness. I mean, I could be wrong, but he died in Somerset, Kentucky. And, you know, I want to show you a picture, something that you, if you don't think that Hogan and Jimmy Hart weren't very appreciative of his input as far as music goes, check this out. I never knew this before. Do you remember this? The parade for Hulk Hogan when he signed with World Championship Wrestling back in the mid-90s, was it 1993? I think it was 93, whatever year it was. Remember that parade in Florida where they drove, he was in the convertible car, and they went down and he had the speech? Well, look at the driver in the vehicle. The driver is J.J. Maguire. That is pretty cool. I never knew that before. This was not just some lackey that, brother, drive me here, brother. J.J. Maguire driving that vehicle, man. So pretty cool, pretty cool. I've always heard of him, always paid attention to his contributions in the music industry, but he was always overshadowed by Jim Johnston more than anything else. 1994. Thank you, Rocky Red. 94. Yes, Mike Shields passed away as well. Thank you, Viper. Early days of AWA. I actually was watching a little tribute that Jim Cornette paid to him earlier today. So I'm going to get some more information on Mike Shields. We will definitely give him his due as well. But I wanted to mention J.J. Maguire because it was a week ago. And look, I save some topics, obviously, for Saturday because the Saturday show is the flagship show here for what we do. So, you know, rest in peace, both not only Mike Shields, but also J.J. Maguire, 68 years old, man, way too young, way too young. I want to thank everybody who joined me last night. Yes, we ended up doing a SmackDown watch party, and we ended up doing a Rampage watch party. Rampage started like 11:45 at night. You know, wasn't too draining because it was only an hour, but I do want to give an alert for everyone who signed up for the watch parties 2 weeks ago and has never attended one. Do not take it personal, but your accounts will be deleted because there are a very limited number of invitations that I can give out because the servers still can't handle big audiences, and it's not fair to have people who signed up and then never bothered to show up. So we got to give your seats to others. So we will do the next one Tuesday for NXT 2.0. Now, let's get into Jeff Hardy. If you saw the banner for tonight's show, the thumbnail, you already have an idea of what I'm going to be talking about. Now, look, you go back to the first podcast that we did. I think it was that Monday after he jumped the guardrail, walked through the crowd. And if you remember that night, I specifically said, and Mish as well, that there was nothing that we could see in our eyes that he was in rough shape, that Mike Johnson wrote. Yes, the same one that broke the Cody story. See, Mike Johnson is good when he sticks to the story and just reports it as it is. When he tries to input his own little opinions in with it as well, that's where he fucks up a lot. And you look back at that night and you show me where Jeff Hardy looked to be in rough shape. That is so disrespectful, because everybody knows Jeff Hardy's history with abuse, substance abuse, addiction. And when you throw it out there, you know, that he was in rough shape, every single person that reads that immediately thinks, oh, he relapsed. What a horrible assumption to make without having facts. So at that time, I said, look, to me, it looked like a mental breakdown. It looked like that he just, over the edge, that's it, I'm done, I'm out of here. I'm going to leave and walk through the crowd to basically into anonymity. And that's how I want to go out. And for all of this time, I have defended Jeff Hardy. Of course, it's not the right way to leave a job. You know, I see on social media now, like, people think it's a badge of honor to text message their employer, I quit. With all due respect, this is just my opinion. If you can't look at someone in the eye and you have to text message, you're a pussy. Unless you are legitimately afraid of some type of repercussion, embarrassment, and yes, people are put through that. So I'm not trying to say that that's for every single person. But when someone says, look, I quit my job, and they post a screenshot of a text message, like that's a badge of honor. I mean, you know, that's kind of bush league. And, you know, look, as much as you may not like WWE, Jeff Hardy got paid an awful lot of money over the years. Jeff Hardy was also sent to rehab more times than you can count at WWE's dime. So WWE, of course, is not the perfect company, and there's a lot of things about WWE that sucks. But the fact of the matter is that, you know, Jeff Hardy may have been offended that they wanted him to take a drug test. Why? I mean, any common sense person would say, look, you got a history of doing this stuff. You walk out for no reason. That is behavior. That is, you know, not, you know, we want to make sure you're clean. Jeff Hardy got very offended by that, and he should. He was clean. And that night we said, don't be surprised if he's clean. So I understand you get to a breaking point, you know, meltdown. You know, all normal business goes out the window. You get a nervous breakdown. How many times have you seen, whether it's somebody you know personally or yourself, or maybe it's just something you've seen on video, where somebody just has a total meltdown and they just lose it? They snap. You've never seen a side of a person like that before. They could just break down and cry hysterical. They could literally just crawl into a ball on the floor. Some people will just throw things. People do have meltdowns, and meltdowns can take over. That's why I always defended Jeff Hardy for walking out. It's not the right way to quit. Even if you don't like WWE, you see even now, there's people out there that are trying to convince Mustafa Ali to do the same thing that Jeff Hardy did. Man, if anything, you know, WWE is going to literally have to force people to sit in purgatory now because they don't want to start a trend that people just get up and leave. And then you got to fight the independent contractors, you know, argument and all that stuff. You know, it's very easy for people to sit on social media that don't have any form of income or very little income to tell other people how they should handle their livelihood and their family and everything else. But still, I always felt, look, Jeff Hardy's been battling demons and successfully winning in recent years. And I've always said I could only imagine how difficult it is to go through that pain and not simply just take a shot of vodka to numb it. Pop a painkiller, pop a Xanax, pop a Halcyon, pop whatever it is that he's got to sit in an ice bath. He's got to use every type of topical aid you could find in a pharmacy. You know, the guy is in excruciating pain. You could see even in his Dynamite debut. It's not him just selling, you know, the match. You see some of the moves. You could see the grimace. That's not fake. So I commend Jeff Hardy for still putting his body on the line for our entertainment purposes and not being able to take things that are legal. There's nothing illegal about taking a drink. Man, I'm a little pain. Oh, let me take something. I feel a little bit better. Problem is, when you're battling alcoholism, a little could lead to a lot, and it could create a downward spiral. It is a temptation. So up until now, although it is not the right way to go, if it was a meltdown, I could forgive a little bit for Jeff Hardy. Until he appeared on Matt Hardy's podcast. Now, if you see on my original thumbnail, I put two sets of quotations, so nobody thought that that was one whole paragraph. There are a few other sentences involved, and I'm going to read it to you in its entirety. But, you know, it's only put so much on the screen. But when I read this, I said, I got to see it. I got to see it. I got to hear it come out of his mouth. And when I saw it and I heard it, I'm like, I can't condone this. A lot of you out there have lost a lot of respect for Jeff Hardy because of this. I got a super chat from LaSalle Williams. He lost a lot of respect for Jeff Hardy after pretty much bragging that he could get away with quitting WWE the way he did. It's a big F you to the fans who were at the show and the wrestlers who he was in the ring with at that night. I agree with you 100%. Because this is what Jeff Hardy said. And I credit Fightful for the transcript. Jeff Hardy says, and I quote, "That night in Edinburgh, Texas, for some reason, I finished my heat. You know, I took the heat and I just said, I'm ready to go. I went over the rail and disappeared into the crowd. Naturally, they think I took something like drugs or whatever, but I didn't. I mean, if I was that bad, I should have never gone out there, is the way I see it." Okay, so far, everything he said is exactly what we thought happened that first night that we talked about it. Here is the problem. I thought, man, that's just another unpredictable thing that I can do, and I'll get away with it. But it was more serious than that. It's just another unpredictable thing that I can do, and I'll get away with it. That's unacceptable. That is unacceptable. If you have a meltdown, if you just are done and you want to be done with it, how much longer would the match have lasted? 2 minutes? 3 minutes? Roll out of the ring. Stay on the floor. Wait until the bell is called. Then you leave. Period. I know he is extremely excited to be in AEW, and he goes on in the interview and he talks about how he feels wanted. He feels like he's got worth. And that is great. But what message do you send to the live fans that were in attendance that night? Why? Because they got to touch your back as you walked out? What is message does that say to the people you were in the ring with? That I'm done. That I can't even finish the last 2-3 minutes of my match. And then, in his mind, I'm Jeff Hardy. I could get away with it. Sorry. The man has entertained me for decades. I have commended him for his battles with addiction. That man deserves a whole lot of respect and praise and support for that. But that does not justify what he did that night. Pretty much bragging. I could get away with it. Unacceptable. And honestly, of course Tony Khan is not going to not sign him despite that unprofessional behavior. But sorry, AEW should not have this aura that the people that go there are the ones that are scorned by WWE or feel that WWE is evil. Oh, you think WWE is the drizzling shit, you hate them? Welcome. Welcome aboard. That's just unprofessional. Especially coming from a guy that gets some of the biggest pops still on television. Those WWE fans love Jeff Hardy. Just because it's not happening at a Rampage or a Dynamite or an AEW banner, you know, what message does that send to the fans that night? If he would have just said, look, I had a breaking point, and at that particular moment, I couldn't think anything else, but I'm done. If he would have just left it at that, I still would be 100% behind Jeff Hardy. But the fact that you have this cockiness that, oh, I could get away with it, disrespectful. He disrespected the fans that night. He disrespected the wrestlers he was in the ring with, even if they are his friends. And even if Drew and everybody else that was in the ring that night say to Jeff Hardy, look, Jeff, you know, I understand, you know, what you're going through. It's all good. I didn't take it personal. Believe me, you disrespected your friends. Even if they forgave you, even if they said it didn't bother you, you still disrespected your friends. You respected your fellow coworkers. And I did not hear any apology in there. I didn't hear, look, you know, to the guys I was in the ring with, you know, I'm really, really sorry. You know, I know no matter how they responded, it's not the right way to go. And I do not condone anyone else doing what I did. I had a melting point. I went, none of that. None of that. Disrespectful. Mike from New York says Steve Austin walked out twice. Mike, when I was 6 years old, my father taught me, you do not justify bad behavior with other bad behavior. Just because that person's being an asshole doesn't mean that I could be an asshole too. Just because that person is doing something illegal doesn't mean that I should be able to do it too. And Steve Austin was not welcome back for quite some time after that. He lost quite a bit of money as well. It's unprofessional. It sends the wrong message. And I think that is totally disrespectful on the part of Jeff Hardy. Am I still a Jeff Hardy fan? Absolutely. Am I still going to support his battles and appreciate every time that he is still on TV? Because a year from now, it might be over for him in the ring. Same for Sting, same for Jericho, same for anybody else. Tomorrow is never guaranteed. And I'm not talking about death. I'm talking about injury. I'm talking about anything else. Appreciate now, because tomorrow's never guaranteed. So I will continue to support Jeff Hardy, but that is disrespectful. Absolutely disrespectful. Now, I got to share something else with all of you. The AEW Dynamite rating came in. We talked about it on Thursday. Went up slightly, drop under 1 million. And if, you know, next week, like I said, we are going to look at AEW's ratings since CM Punk is signed It tells a very interesting story. I'm not concerned about AEW at all. Like I said, Tony Khan could lose $50 million a year for 20 years, and it won't even affect 10% of his bankroll. So, you know, they have plenty of time to build the foundation. I am not worried about AEW, but I got to share this with you, all right? This is courtesy of Brandon Thurston. He provides now the quarter-hour breakdowns for all the TV shows with ratings. And I saw the breakdown of AEW Dynamite and Friends. For that fringe element on the left that is weirdly gushing about Tony Khan and AEW, that weirdness level, you know it's the latest cringe phrase, just take my money. Oh my God, you're doing it. Just take my money. That's the latest one. Just take my money. Anytime I see that, I just want to punch somebody in the mouth. Just take my money. How many of those places showed you this? For those on my audio-only family, I have on the screen right now the quarter-hour breakdown for this past episode of Dynamite. And as everybody live on video is seeing right now, the lowest quarter hour for the entire episode of Dynamite were the Hardys' in-ring debut. The quarter before had 1 million, it says 1,023,000, but at the very end of that quarter, it was actually 1,045,000. It dropped all the way down to around 900,000 and then started to pick up at the very end of that quarter, and that quarter averaged at 9/11. So they lost over 100,000 viewers, and once the match was over, they gained 60,000 of them back. If you look online and you see, go on Brandon Thurston or Brian Alvarez's tweets. I'm not criticizing either one of them. They're not the ones that did it. But if you go down that page and see the excuse that everybody is saying, they said the reason why the rating went down is because of old people. That wrestling fans over the age of 54 changed the channel. You can't blame it on basketball, because basketball, we've already shot that shit to hell 15 years ago. The fact of the matter is, whether it was basketball, anything else, at exactly, 10, 15? Yeah, 10:15, 9:15, excuse me. At 9:15 p.m. on Wednesday the 16th of March, over 110, 120,000 fans said, oh, the Hardys. Jeff Hardy's going to make, the Hardys are back as a tag team after all these years. We haven't seen that in years. Matt's already gone from the WWE for over 2 years. We haven't seen him come. I'll change the channel. They blamed it on old people, everybody. That old people changed the channel. This was not just 2, 3, 4 whack jobs saying that. This was over and over and over and over. Old people is the reason why the Hardys had the lowest quarter of the night. And not for nothing, let's be honest too, Thunder Rosa and Britt Baker were not that far behind. I mean, they didn't have as much of a drop, but the Hardys is the one that stands out more than anything. Listen, man, I've said this before, and we'll talk about it next week. Every single fan that watches a product is potentially a paying customer. It doesn't matter to anybody but the network, the promotion, and the advertisers about demographics and age groups. Those are the only people that should matter about this. You know, of course, the way ratings were handled 25 years ago when I used to cover it is different with the way it's handled now. But believe me when I tell you, back then, you had 18 to 49. You had 12 to 34. You had female, male, and all this other shit. Explain to me why all the wrestling news websites that are still doing it 25 years later, why 25 years ago they didn't give a shit about the demos? Because it's always trying to find a silver lining for something going down. Impact Wrestling. We could bring it up now. Why not? Impact Wrestling this week. I got to put a little timestamp. What happened here? I see a little disconnection. Hopefully we didn't disconnect from the server. Hang on. Ah, we had a blip. We had a blip. We had a blip. Okay. All right, we're back. We're back. I think we are back. Con! Guys, you still with me? Hey, yo. All right, yeah, we're back. We're back. For those on audio only, I will edit this little chip out. You know what I think happened here, everybody? My battery backup does a reset every month. And I heard it go off literally about 2 minutes ago. And I think when it did the reset, it might have reset my modem. So, you know, you didn't miss anything. What was the last thing for everybody live? What was the last thing I was talking about? What was the last thing that you heard me say? We were talking about ratings. But did you hear me talk about what I said 25 years ago with the ratings? Old people. Did you hear me comment about 25 years ago? Okay, Thunder Rosa. Okay. Let me just repeat what you didn't hear. You know, Thunder Rosa versus Britt Baker ended up being the second lowest quarter. But they really didn't lose that much. And by 10 o'clock at night, I mean, that's a little understandable. But what I was saying, and you didn't hear it, is 25 years ago, you had demographics. You had 18 to 34, 12 to 24, female, male. They had demos. The only people that should care about the demos are the wrestling company, the network, and the advertisers. That is it. That is it. When we had demos 25 years ago, ask some of those older journalists why they didn't cover demos 25 years ago. Did they not think it was important at that time? See, point I'm making is every single person that tunes into your show is a paying customer. Every single person, it doesn't matter if they're 16 or 66 years old, you want to get as many people to watch your product as possible. And all of these websites, the only reason why they focus on demos is to always try to find a silver lining out of everything. But the fact of the matter is, we talked about it 2 weeks ago when I showed you those 4 days of ratings. AEW Dynamite was the only show in 4 days in the top 15 of all shows that was under 1 million viewers. Everybody's bragging about a 0.41 demographic. You could have a 0.41 demographic and only have 500,000 people tuning in. You could have a 0.77 18 to 49 demographic and only have 500 people tuning in. So a bigger percentage of your viewers is in that demographic. But what does that say overall? 100+ thousand viewers at exactly that time said, oh, God, the Hardys. Oh, my God, I haven't seen them. I'm changing the fucking channel. That's the facts, period. That is not acceptable. What also is not acceptable is Impact Wrestling. And the excuse now is, oh, well, WWE closed the forbidden door. Like it's WWE's fault that Impact Wrestling's rating. Get a load of this. Not only is it down 50% in the last 2 weeks, it is down 67% since the Royal Rumble. I'm telling you, I already talked about this. Impact Wrestling, what is their identity? What is their identity? They try to get the Bullet Club to get a little bit of attention. They try to get this person for a little bit of attention. They tried to do a Ring of Honor invasion storyline to get a little bit of attention. And what happens? Tony Khan buys fucking Ring of Honor. So it doesn't feel like suspension of disbelief that, you know, there's this group. It's just all about perception. Tell me what is so different about Impact Wrestling compared to AEW or MLW or any other promotion out there. In 2 weeks, half of their viewing audience said, I'm going to do something or watch something else instead of Impact Wrestling. This week, they drew 68,000 viewers. 68,000. Let's put this in context. Bullet Club, Jay White, especially, not putting the blame on him, but Jay White. Oh my God, Forbidden Door. Josh Alexander, he's back. You have this group infiltrating. You got all the 68,000 viewers. That is less than 10% of what Rampage gets. And it airs at 8 p.m. prime time Thursday night. Anybody see a problem here? You know, when we did the Q&A for the channel members on Thursday, somebody asked me, do I think, which company do I think will shut down first? And I don't like answering stuff like that because you don't want to see anybody shut down, obviously. But I truthfully believe that if anybody's going to shut down, whether AEW or Impact Wrestling, it's Impact Wrestling. It's not even close. Because understand something. Impact Wrestling is not owned by individual. It's not a Tony Khan owning Impact Wrestling. When does that company turn around? Let's be honest for a minute. Let's be straight up. When does that company turn around and say, we got all these people. We got all these commitments. We got all these responsibilities. And we can't even draw 70,000 people? When is it not worth it anymore? You know, if it's someone like that has a Tony Khan bankroll, that personally loves pro wrestling, that wants to put their footprint all over it, then you think, okay, even if you know, they could get through this. But the problem is, what is Impact's identity right now? What is their identity? And I can't seem to find one. Tell me what stands out. 68,000 viewers, everybody. Not very good. Not very good. So let's move on. And I apologize for the little video blurb earlier, the connection blurb. We'll get through SmackDown and Rampage results very quickly in a moment. First, I want to talk about this woman, Toni Storm. Toni Storm today, what is it, 8:45 p.m., about 8 hours ago, a little less than 9 hours ago, Toni Storm went live with her OnlyFans account. And let me tell you something. I am very, very happy for Toni Storm. In 8 hours' time, she has got, as of this airing, about 1,000 members on OnlyFans. 1,000. She is charging $19.99 a month for someone to be a subscriber. Now, if you buy bigger packages, I know that doesn't sound appropriate, but if you buy a larger package, that still doesn't sound appropriate. If you buy multi-monthly memberships, you get a discount a little bit as well. But listen, I know for a lot of you out there, you think of OnlyFans and you think of nudity. You think of penetration. You think of X-rated content. What Toni Storm is doing is no different than someone who may have been a model and had a fan club back in the day. Whether you get posters in the mail or you get access to photos, are we seeing nudity? No. Did she advertise nudity? No. Did she advertise adult entertainment, if you know what I'm talking about? No. So for some people out there that are a little bit saying like, oh, 1999 and no nudity, well, that's not for you then. But the fact that she left pro wrestling, what I call this is called hustling. It's hustling. And that's not a negative word. I always appreciate chaos. You all know chaos here, and he always writes on my comments in the videos, you know, appreciate the hustle. You know, she knows her assets. She knows there is value to it. You strike while the iron is hot. She is a beautiful woman who loves to take pictures on the beach, maybe with some, you know, lingerie, a little risque in the outfits. And there's a lot of photos online. And she's like, yeah, why don't I get paid for that? So she could charge $100 if she wants. Nobody is forcing anybody to spend the money. So the fact that she got in less than a day over 1,000 people to sign up at a minimum of $19.99 a clip. Just think about that. That's 20 G's. That is 20 effing G's. Of course, OnlyFans takes a percentage. You mean to tell me, you know, she wasn't born with that body. She works out. She exercises. She watches what she eats. You know, she has worked hard. And she realized, if the money is there, let me get it. Good for her. Good for her. And I will say this with all due respect. People online that are criticizing her, or better yet, people online that are criticizing other people about Toni Storm, whether they love the account or hate the account, one thing they all have in common, that their needle dick is sleeping alone that night. Because almost everyone out there that's bitching and complaining, if you want a good laugh, look at their profiles. It's either single guys, most of them won't show you what they look like, or it's, I hate to say this like this, some women that, you know, may not have similar assets to Toni Storm. I'll say it like that, that there might be a lot of jealousy. How dare she? Good for her, man. Good for her. Make the money, man. Make the money. So it's up to you if you want to go check out her OnlyFans. But she knows her worth, and she's getting paid. She's getting paid, made, and I don't know about the third one. So good for her. Good for her. All right. Moving on along. Let's talk quickly about SmackDown. And let's talk about Rampage. SmackDown yesterday, we had a really hilarious opening. We had the Bloodline in the ring, celebrating with their championships. Paul Heyman in the ring as well. And Roman Reigns, that they show the recap from MSG from 2 years ago. And Roman Reigns, you know, he's pretty much saying it's a good thing, you know, Brock Lesnar, if he shows up, he's going to get his ass kicked and this and that. So Paul Heyman says that there was some issues in Saskatchewan, so Brock Lesnar will not be there. I guess he was looking at the flights. So he's looking at his phone and he's telling Roman Reigns that Brock Lesnar will not be there at SmackDown. Crowd is booing, and Roman Reigns pretty much if he showed up, you know, I'm going to smash Brock Lesnar. And it was, I'm telling you, I freaking love Paul Heyman. We were laughing yesterday in the watch party. He looks like a goldfish when he gets upset. He's looking at his phone. He's like, and he's looking at his phone and he's telling Brock Lesnar, and you got to look at the segment again and just pay attention to the Usos, because they started busting out laughing. The Usos were freaking, is that Jey Uso? He was laughing his ass off. Paul Heyman is like, no, no, no. His flight just arrived. He's going to be here. So funny, man. Yes. Yeah. Oh, yeah. My bird made an appearance last night and he took a shit on me live on the air. I had to literally jet away for 20 minutes and take a shower while SmackDown was on. But Roman Reigns and the Bloodline, they're getting nervous. They want to get out of the building as quickly as possible. So they get in a limousine, and I don't know how a plane just arrives and literally Brock Lesnar's already in the building, but they're in the back. And the next thing you know, Brock Lesnar commandeers one of those forklifts while they're in the limousine. I think they actually might have gotten out right before it, but Brock Lesnar speeds up, yeah, right through the windshield, flips the vehicle upside down, and you see the Bloodline all racing to, I think, a Chevy Silverado, trying to get out of Dodge. Now, of course, they took the bolts off of the door, especially that they sped away. You know, Brock could have been pretty injured on that. If you go back and you watch that, if that door didn't pop off as quickly as it did, it could have just whipped him and hit him as the vehicle was going by, especially the way he was holding it. But he grabs the back door as the truck speeds away, and he has the door in his hand. I thought it was funny. It looked like produce in the back of the truck when they were speeding away. But they race out of there, and then what does Brock do? Brock brings the door to the ring. He gets inside the ring, and he's cutting a promo, and, you know, the gloves are off. The Bloodline gets out of Dodge, but Brock Lesnar, he is pissed the F off. Brock Lesnar can't wait till WrestleMania. The whole segment was hilarious. I mean, even Pat McAfee talking about he's holding the door like a trophy. Those doors are freaking expensive. Doesn't matter if they're expensive. They're heavy. I mean, go Google it. See how one of those doors, go on eBay and see how it's crazy amount of weight. But I know what you're going to say. Oh, he picked up Charles Robinson like he was a toy also. But really, really fun opening segment. Took almost 25 minutes. You know, you think about a 2-hour show, that's 1/6 of the show almost. So Shinsuke Nakamura and Rick Boogs defeat Los Lotarios. Now, just to clear up something, because quite a few people online were writing this yesterday, and I think it deserved a little bit of correction. They did the Kiss Cam again yesterday. And, you know, I guess for some reason, Latino women in their mid-20s with brown hair and lipstick, I guess for some people they all look alike, because they all kept saying, why do they keep kissing the same girl? Well, you know, for those that don't remember, this is the other girl. I don't think it's the same person. I mean, people kept saying yesterday, maybe it is. Maybe it is. I don't think so, though. Yeah, I don't think it's the same person. But anyway, they lost. They lost. Drew McIntyre and the Viking Raiders over Happy Corbin, Jinder Mahal, and Shanky. Now you could see a little bit of dissension falling out with Happy Corbin and Madcap Moss. Madcap Moss cuts a joke in the back before they start. And he was saying something about, you know, what happens with our segment with something, you know, falling asleep, it's nappy time or something like that. It was just stupid. But Corbin is like, bad joke. Everybody's like, let's get out of here. You know, it's just like over a stupid joke. But, you know, the object of this match was Drew McIntyre dominating. and Corbin avoiding McIntyre almost at all costs. And unfortunately, Shanky is the one that gets the bulk of the abuse. Drew pointing to the WrestleMania sign. And look, I said it yesterday. I'm still not a fan of Happy Corbin. But the fact is he has dropped a decent amount of weight in the last 6 months. He's gotten himself in better shape. And, you know, he's not that bad in the ring anymore. I mean, I'm surprised when you think of all the releases the last couple of years, you ask yourself, how the hell did this guy escape all that? Something about him that WWE thinks that he is an annoying, like a gnat, like a mosquito that's in your room. You know, you hear it, it buzzes by your face, you turn the lights on, you try to swat it for an hour, you can't seem to get it, you think it flew into another room, you close your door. How many times have you done that? And then all of a sudden, Corbin is like a mosquito that you can't just freaking swat away. But, you know, look, I know a lot of people are disappointed with Drew's match at Mania. Not everybody's going to have a real important high-profile match every year. This was Drew's year to step down a little bit. You know, it is what it is. I am not looking forward to the match, but whatever. Sasha Banks and Naomi were supposed to take on Rhea Ripley and Liv Morgan. Now, remember, they had made this match a three-way at WrestleMania. Well, it is now a four-way. We had Carmella and Zelina at ringside. Natty and Shayna Baszler decide to get involved, causing the no contest. And, yeah, I mean, we talked about it. Sonya Deville, the storyline with her and Naomi. In storyline, it should just be simply, Naomi, I'm not allowing you to compete for a title at WrestleMania. That would be the easiest story. Or why not have Naomi and Sonya Deville have the culmination of their feud at WrestleMania? So the fact that Sonya is allowing her to be part of it, I know, you know, the storyline yesterday was that she added Natalya and Shayna Baszler to the match. But still, you know, that storyline with Naomi and Sonya, and it's sad because for a long time, I did not like that storyline. I did not like the feud. It just dragged and dragged and dragged. And then for like the last 6 weeks of it, I'm like, oh, okay, you know, actually I'm digging it now. And then she had that amazing match, Naomi against Charlotte, and it felt like Naomi's getting a momentum back. So, I mean, is it that hard for Sonya to just not let Naomi compete at Mania, and then you just have a segment with Vince, or Adam Pearce says, I just got off the phone with Vince and you're abusing your power. Naomi, you have your match. You get a crowd pop out of that, and that's it. Storyline answered. Sonya, you get out of line again. You cross paths with Naomi. You lose. You're suspended. And is it that difficult to come up with? Pat McAfee yesterday, he has to issue an apology to Austin Theory after laying his hands on him last week. So Pat gets on the microphone, Austin Theory comes out. Pat, a little reluctant to apologize at first, and then he finally is like, I apologize for beating your ass down last week. I apologize for you being a punk bitch. I apologize for what I'm going to do to you at WrestleMania. So Austin Theory, while Pat McAfee with this constipated look on his face, he does the selfie. I don't have the selfie picture offhand. I should have took it, but so just to get a little bit of mic, I mean, obviously Pat McAfee is great on the mic on his show, but, you know, you could, if anybody didn't see his stuff in NXT, he actually cuts a good promo as well. So, yeah, there's going to be a beatdown. There's going to be a beatdown at Mania between those two. I'm telling you, the matches, some of the matches that people are not looking forward to might end up being some of the best ones of the night. Rich Holland defeats Kofi Kingston yesterday. I am sure a lot of people thought that maybe Kofi gets the win to take a little bit of the heat off of Ridge Holland, so to speak. Michael Cole did mention yesterday that Ridge Holland did apologize to Big E. And I don't remember if he said he actually saw him, but he said that he apologized for what happened and he wishes him well. They needed to do that. I know we don't like when we see wrestlers break character, but I wish we would have seen something a little more online. I think that could have, you know, maybe dissipated a little bit. But I think the more wrestlers come out, other wrestlers, and they say, look, accidents happen, you know, I think the less, you know, it's on Ridge. If you notice yesterday, Ridge was avoiding some moves. I think probably the safer way to go. But Pete Dunne, Butch, gets involved once again. He tries to attack Kofi, and Sheamus and Butch end up getting ejected from ringside. And as they're going up the rampway, Kofi gets a little bit distracted, and he hits the Northern Grit on Kofi Kingston for the 1-2-3. After the match is over, Butch runs to the ring, and he just wants to beat the living shit out of Kofi Kingston. So I'm guessing we get Butch versus Kofi next week. Could that possibly be a match at Mania? I think that might be a sleeper hit. Whether he's called Butch or Pete Dunne, it's still Pete Dunne's wrestling ability that is awesome. Him versus Kofi. Take my money. And by the way, props to everyone out there that are really starting to warm up with the look, you know, that they're going with these three guys. You know, I know because of a simple Google search, people looked up Butch and they saw the Little Rascals. It's nothing like the Little Rascals. I told you about the history with the streets and everything, with the gangs, and that's the look they were going with. And I'm liking it. I'm liking it. I know the name is not the greatest name, but, you know, with all due respect, if you're going to go with a guy, a young guy from the gangs in the street, I think Butch sounds a little more gritty than Pete. Pete. Petey. Pete. You know, I mean, I look, am I thrilled with the name Butch? No. But if you're going to go like old school 20s gangs, you know, streets, you know, I think anything is probably a better name than Pete. Oh, Pete. Doesn't seem like the fit. But I'm liking the look. And look, I respect anybody's views on that group right now, but I actually think they're onto something. I really think they're onto something. Why this would even be posted, I have no idea. Crazy Cruiserweight, acting a little crazy tonight. Would I kidnap Santino Marella's daughter, was it Bianca Carelli, and have my way with her and leave no evidence? No, I wouldn't do that to anybody. No. No. There's some pro wrestlers, I think, that have fantasized. We just had that conversation last week. Like, how anybody could even fantasize. I could see you saying, oh, my God, I'd love to sleep with her. Oh, my God, I wish I could have that. But I don't understand where wrestlers go beyond that point. Instead of saying, oh, my God, she's hot. Oh, I would love to get with that. How does it go from that to, oh, my God, I wish I could just take advantage of her against her will? And I'm avoiding the R word. So, no, I would not welcome that. All right. I'll get into everyone else's super chats in a few minutes. Let me just finish up SmackDown because we're almost done with SmackDown. Charlotte Flair calls out Ronda Rousey. Good move this week having Charlotte come out first. Ronda, you know, she's still very, very relaxed on the mic. You know, last week's promo was not good at all. But we saw the replay. Charlotte Flair comes out. Charlotte wearing like a one-piece bodysuit. I mean, she's looking good. She's always looked good. But, you know, she's just running her mouth at Ronda Rousey. She doesn't want to wait to Mania, demands that Ronda Rousey come to the ring so she could finish the job. Ronda comes down to the ring, and they start brawling. And I'll tell you, I'm very surprised. Last week, we finished SmackDown with them brawling in the back, kind of reminiscent to the backstage segment with Charlotte, Becky, and Ronda, minus Becky. And they end with Charlotte putting like a camel clutch on Ronda Rousey last week and Ronda looking pissed that she can't wait to get her hands on Charlotte. Last night, they're brawling. Ronda actually puts on the ankle lock for a few moments, but Charlotte Flair with the kendo stick starts whacking Ronda Rousey. One point, it looked pretty rough. She like dropped Ronda outside the ring, and it looked like Ronda fell right on her face. I don't know if Ronda's lip got busted open from that fall, but what ends up happening is we go off the air once again with Charlotte Flair, the upper hand, and Ronda Rousey gets put through a table. Looked fun. I mean, I've been put through a couple of tables in China. It's fun. But she was bloodied. Charlotte Flair with the upper hand for 2 weeks in a row. So, you know, it's going to be interesting to see what they do to next week, which will be the go-home show to WrestleMania. So that's how SmackDown went off the air. Now, one thing that I am so looking forward to, and it blows me away because up until 6 months ago, I was never a fan of Johnny Knoxville. Never. Never really got into Jackass. I watched a couple of their movies, but I never really got into it as much. But Johnny Knoxville was never on my radar. And then I started to really pay attention about, you know, his love for wrestling and then some of his health issues and, you know, his real commitment. His commitment. And that's the thing that really caught my eye. And then he did what he did in the Royal Rumble, and I was pleasantly surprised. Not in the same thoughts as Bad Bunny, but I was pleasantly surprised. And then to see their match at Mania, which a lot of people were very concerned about because Sami Zayn was the champion. I don't think any of us realistically, as much as how, and no matter how much you may like Johnny Knoxville, I don't think anybody wants to see him with a championship title. But Sami Zayn drops the title to Ricochet, and now we have Sami versus Johnny Knoxville at Mania. And they take the storyline a step further. Doxing phone numbers, Sami Zayn literally getting on FaceTime with some people, doing screenshots, looking like that creepy, you know, pervert. I mean, you've seen the screenshots of his phone. It's some of the funniest shit because you can imagine if you legitimately ever pranked Sami Zayn at like 4 o'clock in the morning and you just kept calling his number over and over again, that would be the look on his face. You know, like I think I may have one of the pictures available. Maybe, maybe not. It'd be funny. Oh, I'm looking. Come on. Show up. There we go. I found one. You know what? I almost want to make this my wallpaper for my phone. Come on, tell me you prank someone. Sami Zayn at 4 o'clock. That's probably his look. Be like, who the fuck keeps calling me? That's got to be my wallpaper. Seriously. But they have turned this feud into some entertaining shit. And yesterday, they have now made the match Anything Goes. I don't know if I would have wanted a cinematic match, a pre-recorded match with those two, but I've never been a big fan of the Jackass movies. But now you know what's going to happen. We're going to see some crazy-ass Jackass skits with Sami Zayn. I mean, I am so looking forward to this match because, look, I don't want to compare it to Adam Cole and Orange Cassidy because that match is not on the record or anything like that. But, you know, the thing is that, you know, you have more of like a comedic match and or maybe like a brawl or something like that. And the only reason why I'm even bringing that match up is because some people out there, you know, when you talk about Adam Cole, and people will be like, no, he's undefeated. That match didn't count. If you enjoyed, you know, the stuff they did, you enjoyed the stuff they did. But this is going to be on the level of Jackass Entertainment. And it's going to be really interesting to see how they incorporate the Jackass skits with pro wrestling. I'm telling you, it's going to be some funny-ass shit. I really am curious. And I tell you, good for Sami Zayn, too. Because even though I know a lot of you would probably have liked Sami Zayn to have been in AEW, some of the fantasy matches that you'd like, some of you, if Ring of Honor comes back sooner than later, you know, Sami Zayn could have returned to Ring of Honor, maybe a little New Japan. I'm sorry, man. You know, some people in pro wrestling are just, they're just perfect as sports entertainers. It's wrestling meets, you know, Hollywood entertainment. Again, I don't want to see it every single week, but Sami Zayn, if you see how this storyline, he is the perfect person for this role. And guess what? Outside of two spectacular matches with Ricochet, he didn't have to wrestle this week. He didn't have to do too much this month. So he is entertaining the shit out of us, and he doesn't even have to be in the ring to do a five-star match to do it. So, hey, it's not for everybody. It's not for everybody. You know, Psycho says hard pass. Fine. That's fine. I don't like seeing women bleeding in matches. I know some of you could be like, what are you, nuts? Yeah, I don't like seeing women ultimate fighting, and I don't like seeing women bleed. That's my prerogative. You know, there ain't nothing wrong with that. Just like someone else doesn't like a comedy entertaining match, you know, there's things that I don't like either. You know, wrestling is supposed to have a little bit for everybody. So, Goldberg is retired until he gets offered another tremendous, gigantic, unbelievable deal. So, all right, before we get into Rampage, which I have a few things to say about. 8-Bit Panda Strike. Longtime fan since 2K14. First time donating. Keep up good work. Yaki Ka. Thank you very much, 8-Bit. Don't be a stranger. Much love. Thank you. Hope you're enjoying tonight. Philip Maffey. He doesn't want to be mean, but the way Jeff Hardy is acting seems like he's on something. Because it's not like Jeff to be so disrespectful of people or to the company. He's lost respect for Jeff. I know it seems a little bit out of the ordinary, but it's not because of him drinking or taking anything, Phil. It's because Jeff doesn't normally talk. Look, one thing I will say about what Jeff said, I appreciate him being honest. Because he could have watered this down a little bit, said just the right things that people wanted to hear, and it takes balls to say what he said. But Jeff is not one, you know, to talk this, you know, blunt, this brutally honest. So that's why it seems so out of the ordinary. Yes, Rockstar Wolf. No, I can speak Japan now. I can speak Japan. When I was doing This Week in Wrestling History, I was nailing all the Japanese wrestler names. Every single one. People are like, oh my God, he can speak Japan. But no, look, as far as losing respect for Jeff, I haven't lost all respect for Jeff. You know, none of us are perfect. We all make mistakes. We all make stupid decisions. I think this is one of them. I just think him almost bragging that he knew he could get away with it because of who he is, you know, I think that's where it really gets wrong. Brian Becerra, he wants to let everyone know. He recommends attending Dynamite when it comes to your town. He had a great time, took lots of pictures and videos. He watched it back and saw himself at times in the background in the Breakfast Soup shirt. Oh, you got to give me some timestamps. I got to check that out. And thank you for showing love and support for, you know, what we do here. That's good. I'm glad you had a nice time. I mean, I felt it when you talked about it the other day as well. So, look, even if you all don't like AEW all that much, I mean, they do give you chock full of entertainment. You know, you might not like the way some wrestlers are being used right now. When we talk about Rampage, we'll get into that a little bit. But, you know, you're guaranteed to have a good time. And the fans all seem to be having a great time as well. And that's what matters. You know, you want to have a good time. You know, you don't have to overthink it. You know, and just, and the price is not that bad. You know, you could get some decent seats for, you know, a very small amount of money. So I'm glad you had a good time. So shout outs once again to Tommy D. Thank you again. He talked a little bit earlier about J.J. Maguire. LaSalle Williams talking about Jeff Hardy and, you know, his unprofessional behavior. Casey is Raw. Once again, happy birthday. Big 4-0. Much love. And yes, rest in peace, Mike Shields. I will definitely pay a little tribute to him on Monday. So I want to get his bio together. I want to give him his due. So, all right. Where are we? Hour and 11 minutes. All right, we're doing good. We're doing good. We're right. I think we're right on schedule tonight for a change. All right, Rampage yesterday. Rampage yesterday, we were doing a watch party. Sorry. Boom. We were doing a watch party yesterday, and it started late because of the NCAA basketball. Darby Allin beating the Butcher by countout. These two guys were already in the ring when Rampage started. Butcher was tossing around Darby Allin like a salad. Blade was at ringside, as was the Bunny. Sting was at ringside as well. We were pointing out that there were times where Darby Allin was having his way with the Butcher, and the Blade was just standing there, like literally just watching his partner just get his ass kicked at times. But the Butcher, and we brought it up yesterday, that guy has dropped a lot of weight. And we noticed that a while back. He's had some health issues, but he's looking good. You know, I actually, about a month ago, finally had a chance to hear a little bit of his music. It's not my type of music, but he is pretty talented. But match was good yesterday. Butcher beating the crap out of Darby Allin outside the ring. You know, just tossing him into the ring steps, tossing him into the barricade a few times. Did anybody see that heavy set guy in the hard camera around second row that had the pink shirt on? You go back and watch it. We were calling him Dusty Rhodes the whole night. If you watched him from far away, it looked like Dusty Rhodes. I mean, not exactly, but the way he had his hair, the way his face was, kind of like ECW's Dusty Rhodes. You remember that look? But just go back and watch pink shirt. But Darby Allin ultimately with a coffin drop outside the ring, and the Butcher is counted out. He cannot make the 10 count. Next thing we know, AFO's music hits. Andrade comes out. Jose, Private Party. Looks like they're going to have... Wait a minute. Am I jumping ahead? No. I am not jumping ahead. Am I jumping ahead? Yes, I am jumping ahead. Because I don't have notes in front of me. I'm just trying to think back. All right. After the match was over, you know, we have a little stare down with the Butcher and Sting. Private Party, HFO come out. And it was funny because I've talked about Sting's rules for a while. You know, for people that don't know what Sting's rules are, if you notice, 9 times out of 10, whenever Sting is in a match, it is always street fight, Texas tornado, falls count anywhere. They do not want Sting to do any more back bumps. Very, very rare do you see Sting doing back bumps. So yesterday, we're watching the Butcher and the Blade kind of like having their way, and they confront Sting, and we're like, Sting ain't going down. He's just no-selling everything. And the Hardys make the save. Hardys are in the ring. And then a FO comes out. Andrade comes out. We have Private Party. They come out. And we think that, you know, we're going to see a brawl. Matt Hardy gets on the microphone and he's telling him, he's like, you know, like, get your asses in the ring. Cut the shit. Get your asses in the ring. And they're teasing, like, they're going to get in the ring. They're standing on the aprons, Private Party, Andrade, and they back down. They back down. So Matt Hardy issues a challenge. Since you guys won't fight tonight, how's about Wednesday on Dynamite, Texas Tornado, 8-man match, Sting, Darby Allin, and the Hardys versus the Butcher, the Blade, and Private Party. I think that's what it was, right? I think, but it's an 8-man tag. And they put the camera on Sting. And Sting's looking at Matt Hardy like, you know, the fuck you putting me in this match for? But as soon as you heard Texas Tornado, Tornado rules, those are Sting's rules. Whenever Sting is in a match, almost never any back bumps. There'll always be a special stipulation involved. So we have the 8-man tag on Dynamite. It's going to be fun. It's going to be, you know, a brawl. Red Velvet over Leila Hirsch. This match went a lot longer than we expected. I know everybody live was, you know, paying a little bit extra attention to Leila Hirsch's, was it gluteus maximus, her butt? You know, Leila Hirsch is a short woman, but I've always sung the praise of her work. She's not bad. Towards the end of the match, she tries to bring a wrench into the ring, and I guess Chris Statlander didn't wipe all her makeup off because she still had some on her eye, but she pulls the wrench away, and Red Velvet gets the win, the roll-up win on Leila Hirsch. Leila Hirsch seems a little bit surprised, but Chris Statlander tweaking her look a little bit. You know, some people were, you know, thinking, like, something about her looks a little bit different. You know, it's just the way she was staring, plus, you know, her bottom tights almost look like, you know, maybe like a some night garments she would wear. But it was an okay match. You know, nothing spectacular. Went a lot longer than it should have, though. Malakai Black, Buddy Matthews, and Brody King, who are super over with the crowd. They beat Bear Country and Fuego del Sol. By the way, if you go back to Red Velvet and Leila Hirsch's match, because we pointed this out, once again, if you think that WWE is the only one that pipes in noise, go back and watch that match yesterday. I mean, they were piping in a lot of noise during that match, but they didn't need to pipe it in for the House of Black. They are insanely over. Buddy Matthews, I mean, of course he doesn't look perfect because he doesn't have the tattoos like Brody King or Malakai Black, but they put on a performance yesterday. Look, I have nothing against Bear Country, but the match, they keep them on dark. You know, the fans are not invested in them. Fuego del Sol, obviously there's a connection with the fans in Fuego. Fuego got a little spurt of offense towards the end of the match. You know, kicking, drop kicking, doing flips. But in the end, he got destroyed. Buddy Matthews just leveled him. Gets the win. And look, you know, I can't stand when people justify wrestlers not being used by saying, oh, well, they're on Dark every week. Or they're on Elevation every week. Tell me the last time a Dark or Elevation storyline led to a pay-per-view match. You know, we brought up Jay Lethal, we brought up AQA, we brought up Ruby Soho, we bring up others. And people are like, oh, no, but they're wrestling on Elevation. Oh, okay, so, yeah, okay. But the House of Black, you know, it almost feels like, and by the way, they are coming out with the Trios titles. If you haven't noticed, they are now focusing on the Trios moniker. They're now keeping records for Trios matches. They're now mentioning when a Trios team is making their debut. Yeah. Imagine back in the 80s when we used to see Afa, Sika, and Samula on WWF Championship Wrestling, and they would fight random three people. Mac Rivera, I don't know, Charlie Fulton, and SD Jones. Imagine every week when we had those six-man tags, it was just three random jobbers, and they would have to put on the banner, making their trios debut as a team. But they are definitely, they will have trios titles by next year. And I don't even think it's going to wait till next year. I think this is going to be one of those surprise announcements that Tony Khan is going to do. We talked about that in December. But as the months are going along, the more and more I'm convinced trios titles are definitely coming. Because, look, let's be honest. We thought Brody King and Malakai Black were going right to the top in the tag team division. I have nothing against Buddy Matthews, Buddy Murphy, whoever you want to call him. Guy is phenomenal. Guy is smooth. And he's gotten himself in even better shape. But it almost feels like by adding Buddy Matthews, the House of Black's tag team aspirations of gold seem to have gone out the window. I don't know if anybody's noticed that. So if you're going to do that, bring those trios belts in there as soon as you can. Bring them in. Bring them in by the summer. We need to see some gold on some of these guys. And not just for a week or two. We need to see gold on some of these guys. Main event, Keith Lee over Max Caster. It was mostly, I don't want to say a Gaga match, but it felt like a lot of Gaga. We had Ricky Starks on commentary along with your usual commentators. Keith Lee, you know, a lot of, look, let's be honest. If you've watched Keith Lee's three matches in AEW so far, they all seem to mimic each other. Keith Lee gets a lot of one-sided offense, power moves early on. Said opponent knocks him on his knees, knocks him a little bit on the ground, gets to do a couple of moves, gets a two count. Keith Lee's shaking it off. And then said opponent will accidentally run into a power move. And then Keith Lee hits one or two more power moves, gets the pin. That's pretty much what happened yesterday. You know, Max Caster cutting a rap at the beginning, you know, making fun of Keith Lee a little bit, bringing up Ted Cruz because they're in Texas. I don't think the fans even gave a shit about that all that much. The rap that Max Caster said yesterday wasn't controversial. It just, I don't know, was one of his more bland, forgettable ones. But Keith Lee, after winning the match, Powerhouse Hobbs, who showed up on the rampway, he's pissed off. He charges down the rampway. He gets into it with Keith Lee a little bit. Then Ricky Starks gets into it. Then a little bit of the Acclaimed hitting Keith Lee with the boombox, and then Swerve Scott shows up. Swerve hits the ring, chases everybody off. And Ricky Starks and Swerve Scott look to be having a program very soon. And we get sort of an alliance. Handshake, show of respect between Keith Lee and Swerve Scott. And we go off the air with Rampage. Now, one thing to come out of Rampage, which is not getting the response I think AEW expected to get. Jericho and Daniel Garcia are going to team up this Wednesday. And the storyline begins where they're sports entertainers and they're going to beat up wrestlers. And the first two people that they're going to face is John Silver and Alex Reynolds. Now, I'm not saying that they're not decent pro wrestlers, but I mean, hasn't a lot of the Dark Order stuff been like a lot of comedy and a lot of, you know, banter in and outside the ring? So, you know, the only direction I see going from here, and I have a feeling some of you may feel the same, is this going to lead to some match against Brian Danielson and John Moxley, or Brian Danielson and Wheeler Yuta, or Brian Danielson and someone else that is not yet aligned with them. I don't know if Moxley will be part of it, but who knows? Maybe Eddie Kingston aligns with them. I could see that. I could see Eddie Kingston maybe aligning a little bit with Moxley and Brian Danielson. Kingston and Moxley already have a history together. They've been teammates. So, you know, that move to do that match on Wednesday, a lot of people were like, you know what's going to happen. You know Silver and Reynolds are not getting this win. You'll probably have like a 8-10 minute match that'll go way too long. What I hope is that Daniel Garcia shows a different side of him Wednesday. We know Daniel Garcia is an excellent wrestler. But if Daniel Garcia wrestles like Daniel Garcia, how is he a sports entertainer? You see where I'm going with this? Like, Daniel Garcia, does he have to change his look? Does he need to wear something outrageous? Does he need to get a little bit of colorful attire? Daniel Garcia cannot be simply Daniel Garcia on Wednesday. Otherwise, the storyline immediately gets very, very stupid. If they're going to play sports entertainers, he needs to act and look like a sports entertainer. Even if it's exaggerated to mock sports entertainment. But I don't know how you all feel about that, but that was my immediate reaction. I'm like, okay. You know, if Daniel Garcia just comes out there and just does what he's been doing, that's not a sports entertainer. So we will see. Yes, CM Punk is currently filming season 2 of Heels. He will be off TV for a little while longer. MJF is going to break his silence Wednesday. You know, he will discuss what he did to Wardlow last week. We'll probably hear lots more CM Punk chants, and the announcers will no-sell it like they did on Wednesday, because CM Punk cannot be part of that storyline right now. So, all right. With that said, I think we are just about done. Two things, as I'm looking at my notes, should have done this earlier. My thoughts are with Pat Kenny, who you better know as Simon Diamond. Simon Diamond, who works in the behind-the-scenes role for NWA, he recently had a stroke. And the stroke, I heard, has left him with a lot of weakness. I've always been a fan of Simon Diamond. And I've told this story before. And if any of you ever talk to Pat Kenny, bring this up, and he will tell you it's 100% true. One of my earliest memories of working shows with Simon Diamond. One time we were at the Elks Lodge, and it was for a Frank Goodman show. It was one of the shows that I did with him. And we're in the bathroom taking a leak. And keep in mind, this is like 2004, 2005. So it's, you know, talking 17, 18 years ago. And somebody was talking about something with baseball. And I think somebody in the bathroom was wearing a Reggie Jackson baseball jersey. Now, if anybody that knows me a long time knows, Reggie Jackson is my all-time favorite baseball player. Not even close. Reggie Jackson also is Simon Diamond's favorite baseball player of all time. I'm assuming it still is his all-time favorite, but we were all taking a leak in the bathroom in the Elks Lodge, and some guy was taking a leak also wearing a Reggie Jackson jersey. And it was hilarious because Simon Diamond praised the guy, complimented the guy for his jersey. I complimented the guy for his jersey. And next thing you know, there's like three, four people that are watching this guy piss the guy wearing the Reggie Jackson jersey. Just imagine in the stall taking a leak. Hey, love your jersey, man. Yeah, Reggie. Yeah, awesome jersey. And then meanwhile, the guy's like trying to pee and he's looking around. Everybody's looking at him peeing. Legit, true story. That's one thing I'll always remember about Simon Diamond, his love for the Yankees and his love for Reggie Jackson. So get well soon, buddy. Get well soon, my friend. Also, one last thing for tonight, too. Warner Media cannot stop this match from happening. It has been announced for Supercard of Honor, April 1st in Texas, at the Curtis Colwell Center. It will be the Briscoes defending the Ring of Honor Tag Team Championships against FTR. This is a match that a lot of people have been wanting to see for a very long time. Charlie Google, the Elks Lodge, the Madhouse of Extreme. That is a wrestling venue that is legendary. But this match is a match that a lot of people out there have been wanting to see for a while. We already talked about the Briscoes and an apparent Warner Media executive that is against them appearing because of past comments about gay marriage. I don't want to get into it again tonight. We've already discussed that ad nauseum, to be honest with you. The Briscoes, you know, have definitely apologized. They have learned. They have grown in the last 9 years. They don't keep those views. And, you know, the rumor is that somebody in Warner Media is against them coming in. But this is Ring of Honor. This is not televised on TNT or TBS. So this will be going down. And look, I've always said that anybody can grow and learn from past indiscretions, past views, mistakes. People, they change their views. They evolve in some ways. They mature. They grow up. They learn. They adapt. You know, so I always feel that, you know, someone is, you know, entitled, you know, to show, you know, that they their views have changed. I don't think you hold it against someone, you know, if 10 years ago, because believe me, I've talked about this before. I have relatives that 20 years ago would have never, you know, I think been a fan of gay marriage. I have relatives that are gay, that are married right now. I've talked about it before. You know, over the years, you learn, you know, you feel, you see, and it's normal. I mean, it's just, it's a different viewpoint. And I feel that a lot of views have changed over the years. A lot of, you know, past views are looked at entirely different now. The fact that a Warner Media executive is still holding it against these guys 9 years later, to me, is fucked up. Period. It's fucked up. I think the Briscoes have proved over the last 9 years especially that they are not homophobic in any way. Yet, if it's true, I don't know if it's true with this Warner Media exec, but everybody seems to feel the same way about it. And we'll finish with Cody tonight, by the way. I didn't forget about Cody. But the fact that, you know, they're still holding it against these guys, I think is ridiculous. So if there's any consolation about this, is that at least you realize that it's not Tony Khan holding this against the Briscoes anymore. Because Tony Khan is the owner of Ring of Honor. And the fact that Tony Khan is allowing them to remain champions and defend the titles and defend against FTR, and Tony Khan is the one who broke the news, you know, at least, you know, some of these political decisions that we have seen may not all necessarily be from Tony Khan. Even Brian Kendrick. Brian Kendrick might have been, it might have been the network that might have said, no, we can't have this guy on the network. Could be standards and practices. You know, think back at WCW. If anyone out there is not aware about the story with Lenny Lane, Go look up Lenny Lane, Cruiserweight Championship, WCW. Check out that story. Yes, networks can interfere with wrestlers appearing on their show or even having titles. All right. We save Cody for last. Because I am not going to be one of those that's going to clickbait. I am not going to be one of those that is going to use his name or Tony Storm or Nia Jax or anybody else just to get attention to my shows or social media. And I said before that the next time we talk about Cody in WWE is when we actually find out something legit. For the last couple of weeks, well, more than that, for the last 6-7 weeks, you've been lied to repeatedly. You've been teased. You've been clickbaited. And all to use you to inflate numbers. And first he's on TV, then he's not on TV. The last three Raws, people teasing leading up to that Raw, Cody, rumored to be there tonight. Creative, cannot say anything. Creative, you know, people claim they have connections with Creative, and then they'll report 3 days later that the only people that know anything about Cody is three people there, as if they have connections with John Laurinaitis, Bruce Pritchard, or Vince McMahon, or Eddie Koski. Supposedly, those are the only four people that know about the situation with Cody. So anyway, here's the bottom line. Here's the bottom line. Mike Johnson, and I've said this before, you know, somebody breaks news, reports news, and it is legit. You report it. You give them the credit, even if you don't like the person. You know, that's a difference compared to 20 years ago, which we don't need to get into that tonight. But Mike Johnson reported a couple of days ago that Cody is 100% signed with WWE. The deal was made it was agreed upon about 2 weeks ago, and everything is being finalized now. So Cody is done. It's a done deal. He is with WWE. Now, I'm not even going to pay attention at people who are now going to claim that, oh, do you see any difference in AEW now that Cody is gone? Cody wasn't as important. Those are people, once again, trying to find a silver lining. AEW would not have existed or even been in the place it is now without Cody Rhodes. They just can't accept the fact that it is about business at the end of the day. They're going to learn the hard way in the next couple of years that a lot of wrestlers who they think are AEW for life, if WWE offers them a nice amount of money, they're going to leave. And then they'll be called traitors. And then they'll say, oh, that, you know, the person wasn't that great anyway. You know, instead of just saying, look, man, you know, he signed, they gave him an offer he can't refuse, deal, done, fine. You know, so diminishing and minimizing Cody's value, you know, that's people in denial. The big question now is, when does he debut? I'm going to show you something. Because this is something that's being talked about behind the scenes. I am not sold on it. A lot of people believe it's going to be Cody Rhodes versus Seth Rollins at WrestleMania. I personally don't want to see that. I want to see Cody the night after WrestleMania. My opinion, whether Cody is on WrestleMania or not, I don't think there's any fans out there who are going to then order Mania because Cody is on it. I think anybody that's going to watch Mania is going to watch it regardless if Cody is on it or not. I would save Cody for the night after WrestleMania. But what some people are talking about is this. Let me pull it up. I will read it for anybody that's on my audio side. WrestleMania has the Superstore access. It is from Thursday, March 31st through Monday, April 4th at the Kay Bailey Hutchinson Convention Center. And basically, you know, it's meet and greets. You could see like famous little setups that they have, like Undertaker's Graveyard, Alexa's Playground, The Miz TV set, KO Show. You could pay money. You could, there's a lot of fan fest going on. They call it WrestleMania Access. I like to call them fan fest. If anybody's interested, you go to SeatGeek.com. But if you go down the list, you could buy these premium experience packages. You could also buy tickets to see WrestleMania panels. And the prices range between $50 and $150. But if you go down the list and you look at the schedule for these WrestleMania panels, you have Tuesday, March 31st, Xavier Woods and Kofi. I'm not going to give, you know, every single one. I'm just going to give you a couple because it's leading to something. On Thursday, March 31st, you could see Xavier and Kofi for $50, or you could meet Trish Stratus and Lita at 9 o'clock for $100. Friday, April 1st, the Street Profits and Bianca Belair, Rey and Dominic, RK-Bro, those are all $50. Paul Heyman is $100. Saturday, April 2nd, the Bellas, $50. Bobby Lashley and MVP, $50. Shawn Michaels, Braun Breaker, Carmelo Hayes, Cora Jade, and MSK, $100. We're almost there, everyone. I think people can see it on the screen now. Sunday, April 3rd. Actually, before we get to Sunday, let's do Monday first. There's a reason. People could see it on the screen. Why? Monday, April 4th, Booker T and Sharmell, $50. Jimmy and Jey Uso were with Rikishi. Oh, I wonder if Rikishi's going in the Hall of Fame this year. $50. Charlotte, Sasha, and Naomi, $50. APA, $50. The Undertaker, $150. Now we go backwards to Sunday, April 3rd. Jerry Lawler and Jimmy Hart, $50. Seth Rollins and Becky Lynch, $50. Surprise guest, $100. There is a lot of legitimate people behind the scenes that think that surprise guest on Sunday, April 3rd, will in fact be Cody Rhodes. Now, I personally do not think so. Now, just to clarify, I'm going to pull up the WrestleMania card to make a point. WrestleMania 38, the match. You look at the matches, okay? You have Charlotte and Ronda for night one. You have Charlotte and Ronda, Becky and Bianca, the Mysterios, Miz and Logan Paul, Drew McIntyre and Corbin, and the Usos versus Nakamura and Rick Boogs. RK-Bro is no longer announced, I believe, for night one. We also don't know what match Seth Rollins is going to have. We have Brock and Roman for night two. Women's tag titles, night two. Johnny Knoxville, Sami Zayn, night two. Pat McAfee, Austin Theory, Edge, AJ Styles, night two. I personally think... Oh, wait, Rikishi's in the Hall of Fame. I'm sorry, I was talking about Umaga. Sorry, Umaga. I meant Umaga. And I also heard that Rikishi may be the one to put Umaga in if Umaga goes in. That's why I said that. My mistake. Brain fart. But anyway, a lot of people think that surprise guest is going to be Cody Rhodes. Now, if you go back to the Superstar Access, Seth Rollins and Becky Lynch are announced for Sunday. Becky has her match Saturday. Her match would have already taken place. If you look at some of the other wrestlers that are going to be appearing, like Charlotte also, Charlotte, she's scheduled for Monday. Obviously, WrestleMania already be over. My point is, a lot of these wrestlers on the Sunday already are going to have a Mania match. So Seth Rollins, if he wrestles, and we don't even know what night Austin and Kevin Owens are going to do their thing, because it's not a match right now. It's still the Kevin Owens show, which we thought it was going to be all along also. So is Steve Austin and Kevin Owens going to be part of night one or night two? Now, earlier, Bob the Builder is asking me, do I think Austin should close out night one? No. No. He's not having a match. And even if he does have a match, it's going to be about a minute or 2 minutes long at the most. This isn't 1998 anymore. I mean, if you want to have that moment, of course, but that's not something to close out. You celebrate your current champions to close out the WrestleManias. You don't do it with a Hall of Famer. I don't care who it is. So the thing is, if Seth Rollins is going to have a match, if it's night one of Mania, then I could see possibly that surprise panel member being Cody Rhodes. I don't think so, though. The reason why I don't think it's going to be Cody Rhodes is because I could only imagine people bringing up AEW. I don't think WWE wants Cody Rhodes to talk about AEW at all. And you're not going to do anything where you tell the guests beforehand, no AEW questions. Because people who run the social media and make WWE look petty about that. I don't see Cody Rhodes being at WrestleMania Access. There's a lot of people that are starting to throw a buzz saying that, yeah, he's going to appear. They're going to make some money off of him. I personally think that surprise is going to be Brock Lesnar. I think seeing Brock Lesnar on one of those panels is an absolute must by a lot of people. I think Brock Lesnar is going to be in that spot. So the reason why the prices are not higher is because they want people to buy multiple tickets. I mean, you don't want anybody to have to mortgage their house, you know, plus, you know, being invited to a panel is, you know, it's not like a, you know, when you go to like a convention, it's not handled the same way. But I don't see Cody at WrestleMania on the panel. Now, we'll see what happens on Raw tomorrow. I'm going to stick to what I said. I think Cody is best suited for the night after WrestleMania. I think he gets lost in the shuffle at WrestleMania. Of course, look, if he takes on Seth Rollins, then you fantasize, like, who's going to go over on that match? Does he do the favors for Seth Rollins? Or does he have some momentum coming into? I would save it. You have other premium live events, pay-per-views coming up after WrestleMania. You could have Cody versus Seth Rollins to, you know, be one of the main events for a pay-per-view after WrestleMania. I don't think Cody for WrestleMania is going to boost numbers in any way, and that's not a shot against Cody Rhodes. I think when you really, I think as weird as this sounds, and I think a lot of people will agree with me on this, I think that there's people out there that want to see Cody Rhodes at WrestleMania just so they could say, told you it was going to be him and Seth at Mania. I think people are more just to say, I told you so, than for the actual match. I don't think he moves the needle for WrestleMania at all. And that's not a knock on Cody Rhodes. So, anyway, before I get out of here, John Falsetta brings up the point that Scorpio Sky had similar tweets and he gets a pass. Why? Well, I'm sure AEW probably had a little bit more of an intimate conversation with Scorpio Sky, as did Warner Media. Plus, I don't think Scorpio Sky threatened that extreme kind of violence like, you know, the Briscoes tweet. You know, I don't think it was on that level. You know, similar is fine. You know, look, if you're against gay marriage, that's your right. I mean, I don't agree with it, but that's your right. You're not required, you know, to go and be approved. I mean, there's a lot of people who are Catholic that are just do not believe in gay marriage simply because of the Bible and their interpretation of it. And whether you agree or disagree with that, you know, you're supposed to respect it. But just because you have a similar view, or you might think that it's wrong, I mean, that doesn't mean that you should be banished from pro wrestling. So no, I don't call it the same. Do they use Cody's AEW theme? I doubt it. Why would they use his theme? You know, they could. It's not a bad theme. I think his AEW theme is better than his Smoke and Mirrors. I don't want to hear Smoke and Mirrors again. I mean, it's not a bad song, but I like his AEW theme better. We'll just have to wait and see. Maybe they come out with all different music. Maybe they have completely different music for Cody. I think there's more of a chance of Cody getting brand new theme music entirely. In fact, it's almost like when AJ Styles made his Royal Rumble debut. You know, when that music first hit, nobody heard the music before. Then when they saw the AJ pop on the screen, that's when everybody erupted. So we may have a similar thing with Cody. We may hear music we never heard before, and then Cody's name pops up on the screen, and then that's when everybody reacts to it. And the Vince McMahon Netflix documentary will be interesting. Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. I'm going to watch it. I'm sure a lot of people out there are going to watch it as well. So, look, as far as the Briscoes comments, everybody has their right, you know, to have their view on gay marriage. It's just, you know, the way they said it. You know, you force that on my kid, pretty much I'll blow you away. That's a little extreme. So, it is their right. It is their right. But if a network says, you know, it's a little bit over the top, too much, that's their right also. That's the way it goes, you know. All right, everybody. I'm going to jet out of here. We ended up going a few minutes longer, which is okay. I hope you enjoyed tonight's show. I will be back here tomorrow night for the sit-down. So if you have any questions, any follow-up questions, comments, tonight's show, anything during the week, tomorrow is your opportunity. So I will be here tomorrow from 8:05 to about 9:30 taking questions. I'm going to show up tomorrow with a blank piece of paper, and you're going to create the topics of discussion. So I hope you can join me. If not, I will be here Monday after Raw. It should be an interesting Raw. I'm not going to speculate if Cody's going to be on there or not. You know my feelings on it. You know what I think should happen. I think we should just sit back and enjoy and watch whatever happens and what doesn't happen. And that's pretty much it. So on the way out, everyone, if you enjoyed tonight's show, I'd appreciate it if you hit that like button. Whether you hit the like button, you post a comment, or you subscribe, those three help this channel more than you know. You'd be very surprised how much it helps the channel. I thank you all, as always, for your support. It is very much appreciated, and it keeps me going. Definitely gives me a nice little jolt of energy. But have a great night. Enjoy your weekend. If I see you tomorrow, awesome. If not, join me Monday, 11:05 p.m. after Raw. So be well, everybody. Good night.
As far back as I can remember, I always wanted to be a podcaster. For me to live any other way was nuts. To me, those goody-good people who work shitty jobs for bum paychecks and took the subway to work every day and worried about their bills were dead. I mean, they were suckers. They had no balls. If I wanted something, I just took it. I ran everything. I paid the bills. I paid the host. I even paid the masked maniac. Everybody had their hands out. Everything was for the taking. We always called each other good fellas. You would always hear from somebody. You're gonna like Don Tony. He's all right. He's a good fella. He's one of us. But if you're part of my crew, nobody ever tells you they're gonna get rid of you. It doesn't happen that way. There weren't any arguments or curses like in the movies. See, your haters come with smiles. They come as your friends, the people who've claimed they care the most for your life. And now that's all over. And that's the best part. Today, everything is different. There's lots of action. I don't have to wait around for everything like everyone else. Oh, I didn't get the vaccine? Fuck you, vaccine me. Oh, your delivery guy has COVID? Fuck you, feed me. Right after I moved here, I ordered egg noodles and ketchup, and I got spaghetti with meat sauce. I'm no longer an average nobody, while they get to live the rest of their lives like a bunch of schnooks.